my sisters in the name of Yahushua, Christ Jesus, our Savior. I greet you all in this wonderful holiday season. Merry Jesus for all of you out there. I'll just say it like that. That's the easiest way to say it. You know, it is an amazing time. a few nights ago, I was blessed to be in North America. Oh, yes, I'm in Nebraska right now, where this audio is coming to you from. And I was blessed with a perfect view of the eclipse that was out there. And interesting eclipse, too, because, you know, it was also on the day of the solstice, also on, you know, the time where, gosh, all of this stuff is just sort of coming into alignment, figuratively and literally. And, you know, this scripture kind of popped back to me while I was watching that whole thing at, you know, 2 in the morning, was in verse 16 in chapter 2 of Acts, where it said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in that last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will shew wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Yeah, and, you know, I was looking up at the moon, you know, those few nights back, and watching it turn to that red color, you know, as all this stuff is coming into alignment, thinking, too, how many things scripturally in God's calendar, I guess, you know, are tied into cycles of the moon, you know, and harvests and all those kind of things. And, you know, with all of that coming together at a particular point, let's just say things are going to change. Things have changed. Things will continue to change. Things will continue to ramp up in the days ahead. And, you know, it's a great time for the children of God. It's a terrible time for the people of this world. You know, and that, I think, is the main thing that you and I need to settle into that reality. You know, not trying to stave things off, not trying to fix the sinking Titanic. We do get assignments that God gives us in this time. We do exploits as the Spirit of God would lead us and guide us to and fro across this earth, as He would instruct you to pray. And when you pray, things change. Do you realize that your prayers can change a nation, can change a kingdom, can change a home, can help a person, can orchestrate circumstances and situations that no 50,000-man army could do? 50-million-man army could do. God changes things. You know, I think, too, something in all of this stuff as well, and this is where, you know, the worlders have, you know, where their plans will come unraveled in this area as well. But the weather, you know, people make all of these plans and these ideas about what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. But you have one snowstorm. You have one heavy rain. You have one earthquake. You have one cyclone, one hurricane, one typhoon, one anything. that can happen in a moment, and your whole plan is gone. Everything that you thought is finished. And you know what's ironic is the world works so hard to accrue to itself matter and material and substance. And the problem with that is you become very top-heavy and very dependent, and all your stuff can go very quickly. And so in their process of trying to hold on to all their stuff, the whole thing falls apart as they watch their stuff, you know, either rot, get corrupted, fall apart, or just break and disintegrate in front of their hands. So, you know, where we're at right now is an amazing time, because for the children of God, you know, we've become very fluid, and we're becoming even more so as the days go forward. God is freeing us up. And here's something you need to do, and I need to continue to do and persist in, is God gives you steps to take so that you can be fluid, so that you can not have your feet dug in too deeply into the soil of this earth. God intends for you to be free. He intends for you to be able to go where He would have you to go, to do what it is that He have you to do, and He's giving you instructions along those lines. I mean, if people were to read the scriptures and to follow the instructions that were in them, you would be, you know, right now, free. That's, you know, the reason that people get into trouble is because the consequences of their actions when they basically deviate from God's word, from God's instructions. So God gives an instruction to people. He says, excuse me, He says, you know, this is the way, walk ye in it. And people say, no, I want to go this other way. Okay, you know, you have that choice. You have that ability. The thing about choice is you can, and by God's gift, you can choose to do whatever you want. You just can't choose the consequences. And so when the consequences, when you reap what you sow, when the consequences come back to you, and they weren't what you were planning on, you know, when the truth of the scriptures come back, that's in Proverbs 14 and Proverbs 16, where it talks about there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When you realize that by choosing your own way, stuff is dying all around you, that your life is dying, that the people that you, you know, have put a priority on, that they're dying, that everything that you put your hand to dies because it's not done in association with Christ, you realize that unless you are doing what you're doing in connection with the Spirit of God, unless He is leading and guiding you, and unless what you do is an extension of the Spirit of God working through you, that if you don't have that, that everything that you do has death stamped on it, there's no life in it, that it is going that way. So, you know, so it shouldn't be a surprise when you and I see the things in this world collapsing around us, because they've worked very, very hard to build up their kingdom. And the byproduct of that is that it's not working. So, you know, now where we are is we're in an interesting spot in time. We're in a spot in time where things are going to heat up much more. And as they do, as things continue to go this way, you need to take courage. Take heart. Jesus said in John 16, I have overcome the world. So you overcome the world by remaining in Christ. Let His words remain in you, and you're going to be fine. You need to come to a resolution that He's in control. In whatever situation, whatever circumstance you might go into, He's in control of that. And if you try to work things out in your own head, if you try to sort of hold the reins half the way, you know, and sort of do this half God, half you fixing it, you know, and praying panicked, while you're, you know, while you're in the middle of something and just sort of like, you know that one. When people sort of like, they pretty much do their own thing. And then when things start to collapse around them, then they go to God. And they usually call you as well. And they ask you to pray too. But in that process too, they're still not looking to God. They're just looking for anything that can keep them going, you know, and they just want that, you know, oh God, please help me, I'm so sorry. And then, you know, they get super spiritual or whatever that is for a week or 2 weeks. And then now all of a sudden, as soon as things sort of start to stabilize for them, they're back to who they were before. See, this is the difference, you know, in the time we're coming into right now, is that as those things start to go, they're going to continue to go. There won't be a turning off of that faucet, of those problems. It will continue to roll in a particular direction. And this is where, too, you know, for the children of God, take heart. Because this is what you've been trained for. This is what God has been doing with you. You know, all that tough stuff that you've gone through leading up until this, all of those difficulties that you've had to face, it's preparation for what is to come. You know, if for an athlete, all of the training that you go through, you put your body through, is for that test that you would then have when you go to actually be in the competition. You're building up for something. Your life is not your training. You know, it's the race that you're being put into. Now, granted, this whole life is a race. You know, granted, we're running through this thing, but there's also things that God prepares people for, a time of their showing, if you would. You know, Jesus had 30 years of preparation, and then he had that 3.5 years where basically God activated him and said, okay, this is now what you're going to do. You know, John the Baptist spent a lot of time out in the desert prior to, you know, being moved by the Spirit of God to prepare the way of the Lord. And then when he stood up to speak, now everything changed. And see, even now with you and I, as we prepare to usher in the coming of the Lord in these days ahead, we now have a role and a purpose to accomplish and to do as part of this amazing drama that we get to be a part of. You know, we get to be a part of the true kingdom of God's work in the earth in this day and in this time. It is an incredible time to be alive. It is a fantastic adventure, you know, but I mean, there's too many people that are still looking and hoping to make things work in this world, you know, to make things sort of happen here. Look, you know, this is back to your faith 101. Although, you know, Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. The things that you need will be taken care of. All these things shall be added unto you. What that means, it doesn't mean what the corrupt, materialist, satanic, quote-unquote, church has been preaching, which is, you know, your greeds and your lusts and all this kind of stuff and all this in heaven too kind of stuff. Now, what it means is that God, as he takes care of the birds, God, as he takes care of his creation and anything else that's out there, that's his, that's walking with him, that's in step with him, he'll take care of you. And what you need will be there when you need it. If you've been walking with God through these years, and you look back, you can see his faithfulness and his hand on your life. If you haven't been, then you don't have that. But if you have been, his promises are true. See, here's the thing. With the scriptures and with the promises of God, they're true. They're true in the life of the believer. They're true in the life of anyone that follows him. And when you look back, you can testify to the fact that they work. To the fact that every time that God speaks, you know, God has put his name and his word he's put it, if he would sooner, God would sooner destroy himself than break his word. So him, he and his word are one. There is no separation between them. That's why when God speaks, it's consistent. When God says something, it happens. He doesn't change. He's not like a man. He's not like your political leaders of the day, which flip-flop all over the place like some dying fish on the deck of a ship. No, God, when he speaks, that's it. When he says something, that's what happens. When he makes a promise, it's good. And so that's why, that's where the trust, faith and trust, it's the same word. As far as meaning goes, when you have faith in God, you trust God. And so when he speaks something and you hear him say that, what happens is that if you trust that, if you have faith in that, despite the circumstances, you can then move in what God intended. See, here it is. God will say, and he'll speak into your heart, it's going to be all right. And if you, but you're in a circumstance, in a situation, where everything around you points to it not being all right, points to things not working, points to things not coming together. But then God speaks to you and he says, it's going to be all right. Well, if you have trust in that, then you can allow and shift into the reality of what God is speaking to you and not your circumstances. If you don't trust in that, if you don't have faith in that, then you are now in the same place as the people of this world that do not believe, do not trust, and so seek from the world their provision, from the world and the world system their protection, because the world they can see. The world is material, is what they can see, what they can touch, and they see that they have something there, and so they're like, oh, okay, you know, that's Egypt. They can take care of me. But they can't. And see, this is also one of the things that has to be revealed in this day, is that the world, they themselves, they can't take care of their own. The only thing the world can do is twist and turn what God puts out there, and by man's will being given over to them and buying into the lie, taking that which God intends and twisting it and then repackaging it and selling it back to you. Now, the world system has no life in it. It can only manipulate what already exists, what God has put there, because God is the creator. God is the Messiah. God is the Savior. God is, Jesus Christ is all. And so for them, you know, they don't, because they don't have that, they have to resell this whole thing back to you. And now what happens is when things start to get turned up, when the heat starts to get turned up, it reveals that they can't. And then they freak out, because now they realize more and more that they've bought into a lie, and then it's the same spirit that was in them, you know, that indwells them now, that they're part of that system. They'll bite and devour and chew up each other just for another 5 minutes of breath, which even that is on loan by God. So now, for us, for you, for myself, for the true children of God, well, how now do we live? How now do we relate to this reality? Well, first of all, be at peace. Know that God is in control. Know that in all things that you may experience, in all things that you may be around, that He's got your back. That His Spirit goes ahead of you, that His glory is your rear guard, that He's commanded His angels concerning you, that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And in all of these things, you don't, of course, you don't put the Lord your God to the test. You don't, you basically, same thing throughout, you stay on path with Him. You stay on track with Him. When He says left, you go left. When He says right, you go right. When He says stop, you stop. When He says, don't do this, you don't do this. When He says, do this, you do it. Simple. you are a good soldier in the army of God. And as a good soldier, you do what your commander and chief says. The general of our army is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knows exactly where he'd have his troops to be, exactly what he would have them to do. And as we do it, God's purposes are accomplished. See, he also works with willing vessels. You know, he is looking for those spirits, those hearts that would give themselves over to him, that would allow for him to work through them. He wants willing vessels. He wants those that say, Lord, here am I, send me, even as Isaiah did, even as Jeremiah did, even as the children of God throughout time have done. Where basically one day, the true saints of God, the ones that God did something with, the ones that were noteworthy to have their names written in the scriptures, they, when God spoke and said, here's what I'd have you to do, they did it. They didn't fight against him. They didn't push back. They didn't try to have their way. They basically just surrendered and said, all right, Lord, you know, this life and everything that I am and everything that I'm about is you. And so, that being the case, you tell me where to go and I'll go. You know, I mean, they did oftentimes have their own issues that needed to be dealt with, and God dealt with them. You know, they oftentimes had their own problems, their own insecurities. You know, Gideon is a case in that, where it's like God says, all right, you know, Mr. Mighty Warrior, Mr. Mighty Man of Valor. And Gideon's just like, well, I mean, smallest house, and I'm the least in the clan, and all of this. But, you know, but he realized, and even God had to kind of, you know, give him something in the way that Gideon was, so that he would know and understand that this was God's call and God's plan for him. But once he knew that, he was all in. You know, I mean, that's what happened with me. You know, for me, when God, you know, when he redirected my life, as it were, you know, to a path and to a plan that I was not expecting, that I was not anticipating in myself, that wasn't necessarily, you know, my thought, but I did love him and I did want to serve him. When he redirected it and said, this is the way I'd have you to go, you know, I needed him to confirm that. And he did. He did in his own way, and in a way that I needed, because of where I was at in my own walk and the limitation of where I was at in that time. He put an exclamation point on that so that I could take confidence that this was indeed God's will and plan for me. And looking back now, I wouldn't trade it. I would not trade it for what my plan was. I tell you what, my plan, looking back, for what my life would have been incredibly, incredibly boring. Oh my gosh, incredibly boring. And it would have been so dull. But that's the case of the things that people create in themselves. You know what? Man, apart from God, is very boring. Man, apart from God, is incredibly dull. You know, I look at Hollywood and some of the stuff that comes out. I don't really watch, you know, much TV. Sometimes I watch some of those movies when I travel and stuff, you know, on the plane. But it's really boring. I mean, like, the best action adventure movie that I've seen, you know, in the last, it has not compared to real life, the real life that God's allowed me to live. This is just my own experience, where he's taken me through and led me through. I have yet to see a script that is written that is comparable to the life that God has taken me through. And this, I'm just starting. Now, you know what happens is there's satisfaction. There's peace when you walk in connection with what God intends for you. When you stay in step with God, He knows what He's doing with you. John chapter 10, where He said, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, a really good, wonderful friend in the body of Christ told me, you know, early on too, said, God is not going to cheat you out of life. And, you know, that, because that was part of the programming that I had before I came into the reality of truth. Part of the programming was, okay, if you're following God, you get cheated out of life. You're going to miss something. You're going to miss what other people might have, or, you know, holidays, or whatever. It's a lie. When you give yourself over completely to what God intends for you, you get to know what's real. You get to experience that life that you're crying out for. That inside of you, there's something that's just gnawing away, just saying, you know, there's got to be more than this. Yes, there is. Absolutely, there is. But it comes on God's terms. It comes on Jesus' terms. And He would have you to trust Him and to follow Him. You know, it's not that hard. God's kept it simple. Let me clarify that. All right, it's simple. It's not that hard. It may be difficult as far as a struggle in your humanity, in your flesh, but if you persist, He'll take you through. He'll carry you through. You're called to be an overcomer. Every follower of Christ is called to be an overcomer in this world. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you live. I don't care what the situation is that you have. Well, I do care. But you know what I mean. But it's the universal call for the entire body of Christ. You and I are all called to be overcomers. Now, sometimes people say, well, how do you do this? It's simple. God instructs you. He says, do this. His Spirit, not a man. This is where I've got to clarify this. It's not the sellout people that have souls caught in holding tanks all over the world. You know, with their weekly kumbaya gatherings. No, it's when God speaks to you by His Spirit and He says, this is the way, go. You go. When He says left, you go left. When He says right, you go right. When He says do this on your job, when He says quit your job, when He says start your job, when He says whatever it is, you do what His Spirit tells you to do. And you know, once you take one step, then watch, He'll speak to you again. Then you take the next one, and then you take the next one. And pretty soon you find that you're walking. That's what the walk of faith is. It's just one step after another. The walk of trust, where you trust in the promises of God, you trust in His Word, and as He speaks, you do. As He leads and guides, you go. Now, in order for you to be able to hear Him, you have to hear His voice. And in order to hear His voice, you have to bow your knee and allow Jesus Christ to establish that connection. See, He is the way to the Father. He is the way to the kingdom. He is the door. By Him, people enter in. And without Him, you're kept out. No one can access the kingdom except through Him. No one can go into His presence, into the presence of the Father, without the blood of Jesus covering them. So He's that way in. And see, this is the thing. As much as the worlders would like to own reality, truth, spirituality, relativism, all of that stuff that they're trying. You know, ultimately, the kingdom is what they would like, but the only way to get in is Jesus. There is no other door. And you can, they can try to make their counterfeits, but their counterfeits break. All of them do. And we get to see that in living color in this day and at this time. So, you know, for me, you know, I make zero apologies for who it is that God's made me to be. I do not try to clarify this. I do not try to rationalize it and make it comfortable for people. This is not a seeker sensitive. This is not a seeker sensitive means of gathering information. You know how many people get so mad at the stuff that comes up, that even gets put up here or posted here, or the things that we broadcast, you know, with and in association with other true workmen, with other true servants of God. But you know what? Here it is. We'll just continue to put it out there because it's true. And it's what God would be speaking to His body right now. And for those that have an ear to hear, you know, God has allowed us to do this so that you would have some place where you could receive something of what He has for you this day. They're out there, but you've got to want it. And you know, there's a lot of people that don't want truth. They really don't. You know, and as much as as much as I know the reality that you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, they want their bondage. They want their slavery. They want things to be controlled. They don't mind being part of the system if they can just go all the way to the end without too much turmoil. And hopefully, at that stage, you know, they want at that stage for when they pass from this life, you know, for God to turn a blind eye. He won't. See, this is the thing. He won't. He puts that truth out there. Jesus says something in John chapter 6 that for those that heard it, most people turned away from Him at that time. And that was a dividing line. Here, in fact, let me just go there real quick. We talked about this. If you want the full extent of this, there's an audio posted, John 666, which you can go back and check that. But John chapter 6, where Jesus said, verse 48, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Then verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. And verse 59, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying. Who can hear it? Verse 60, yeah, this is not seeker sensitive. Okay, verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said unto the 12, will ye go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Yeah. You know, okay. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you got no life in you. Now, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 14, verse 6. So now, if Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, which he is, if he's the way, unless you take in his way completely into yourself, no other way, you have no life in you. If he is, and he is, the truth, unless you take in the truth, the real truth, not the relative truth that the world would try to sell you, not the moral relativism, the dogmas of man, no, none of that junk. Him, absolute truth, Christ. Unless you take that in, unless you embrace that, as hard as that reality may feel at the start, as scary as it may be at the start, unless you take that in, you have no life in you. Unless you take in his life and allow his life to live through yours, unless you die in Christ on that cross with him, and the new life that you now live is in him, you have no life in you. So, yeah, there is a reason that the way, the gate is narrow and few there are that find it. That the road to destruction is broad and well traveled in Matthew 7. There is a reason for that. Because most people don't want this. But you do. You do. And if you want it, if you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, the door shall be open. So I want to pray with you real quick. Father God, I just want to thank you for my brothers and my sisters in Christ. Lord, I pray for them right now. Lord, I pray even as they ask for you, as they seek your life, Lord, as they knock, Lord God, and ask that you would open up to them the reality of what they desire, which is the abundant life in Christ Jesus. I pray, Lord God, at this stage, in your divine time, Lord, that your will would be done in their lives. Raise them up, Lord God, as your true church in this day and this age, to accomplish your will, Lord God, your plan and your purpose, even as, Lord, we prepare, Lord, the way for you before your coming. Your kingdom come, Lord God, and your will be done. We love you. We submit our lives unto you. Have your way, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, love you very, very much. And I pray that God would keep you and bless you. And thank you also just for your encouragement, for your prayers, for who you are. You rock. All right, hey, love you, and we'll catch up with you again sometime soon. Merry Jesus, and God bless you.